Psalm 16:3, commit your plans and decisions to the Lord, and under His guidance you will succeed. What a promise.
Good morning, everyone. Shall we pray briefly? Thank you, Father, for the words and the thoughts and the lives that we have. Please be with us for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I used to feel that if I wanted to get something done, if I wanted it badly enough, I would eventually get it done. Everything pointed toward a future with no definite ending point. But now, I understand that statistically, I have less than 20 years to go. I've already gone through several of these 20-year periods, and now I have less than one left. I've never been at this stage of life before, but maybe there's been a mistake. So recalculating, no, there's no mistake. According to this world, that's all there is to it. We come and we go. I'm in the final stage of life, the last quarter, the home stretch. But we have this hope that there is much more to life than we now live. We rejoice in the fact that God holds our future in His hands, and He has the last word in everything. And He is loving and fair, and is not willing that any of us should perish forever. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance for eternal life. This life is our opportunity to prepare for the next. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Despite the tragic daily news about every aspect of life, God has always been in charge. And when the veil is drawn aside, we shall see for ourselves His wisdom and goodness and mercy toward the children of men. And whatever He allows to happen to us is indeed good. For what else can come from a good God? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. There's no such thing as a self-made man. He answers the needs of our soul, for after all, we are made in His image, created to be inseparable from Him. According to psychologist Eric Erickson, these are the 8 stages of psychosocial development that we go through. Infancy, this is from birth to 18 months. We learn to trust and hope, or we develop mistrust. If an infant's needs are met, he develops trust and confidence in others. Stage 2, toddlerhood. This is from 18 months to 3 years. The time to develop autonomy versus shame and doubt. If he is encouraged, he develops self-confidence and autonomy and a will to get things done instead of feeling shame and self-doubt. Stage 3, the preschool years. This is ages 3 to 5, time to develop initiative versus guilt. Children focus on setting their goals and doing things on their own. If they're encouraged in later life, they will take the initiative and have purpose in life. If they're criticized, they'll develop a sense of guilt. Stage 4, early school is from 5 to 12. The focus is developing industry versus a sense of inferiority. Here, one's individuality is nurtured. With praise and support, their accomplishments make them feel like they've accomplished something, and this bolsters their self-image and competence. But if they fail, they'll feel inferior. Stage 5, adolescence. I hope you're not taking notes, because this is not the focus of my talk. Yeah, I think you feel there's not a lot of depth to this. Adolescence, identity versus role confusion. This is from 12 to 18. The individual tries to discover who they are and to set their goals and priorities for the rest of their lives. Adolescents who are ignored or overburdened by the expectations of others may not succeed in establishing their identity and goals, and they will flounder not knowing what they're lacking. Stage 6, young adulthood. The task is to develop intimacy versus being isolated. This is between 18 and 40 years. Individuals who fail to build loving relationships may feel isolated and lonely. Stage 7, middle adulthood. Generativity versus stagnation and self-absorption. This is between 40 and 65 years of age. Generativity is when they feel a responsibility to pass on their experiences to the next generation. If the individual is bitter or unhappy and unfulfilled, they might isolate themselves and feel useless. Late adulthood. This is the final stage. Ego integrity versus despair. This is 65 and above. If they're satisfied with themselves, they flaunt their wisdom and accept aging. Those who have not achieved their goals feel despair. Here we see a focus on self and one's feelings and on our relationships with others. But there is no acknowledgement about our vital relationship with the God of the universe, which is the most important thing. For as we have been told, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't know if you've noticed, but frequently you see stories of people who've committed suicide, and I feel it's so tragic because they just do not have the hope. They've put all their trust and hopes and aspirations on what the world has to offer, and when that fails, as it will tend to do, they give up and they think there's nothing worth living for. And in a sense, they're right if that's all that they're focused on. I think of God as being the great equalizer, able to meet all our needs and to correct any of our inherited or acquired deficiencies. We think of people as being talented or smart or dull, and we label them. But these are labels that we make up and apply to people that really don't look at things the way God does. For example, just in the area of wisdom, we are told, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If we need any talent to do the Lord's work, we should ask for it. All our needs are met in Christ, for we are essentially spiritual beings. Our bodies are just the medium in which our spiritual issues of our existence are played out. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The spiritual nature will triumph over our mortal limitations. When we are determined to serve God, we will be given opportunities to witness for him. Difficulties will be powerless to hinder us. In the strength gained by prayer and a study of the word, we will seek after virtue and forsake vice. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the opposition of sinners against himself, the believer will willingly endure contempt and ridicule, and help and grace sufficient for every circumstance are promised by him whose word is reality. His everlasting arms encircle the soul that turns to him for help. In his care we may safely rest, for as David plainly said, when I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Simply put, to all who put their trust in the unchanging God, he will fulfill his promise. By his own example, our Savior has shown that his followers can be in the world but not of the world. He did not come to take part in its pleasures and to be swayed by its customs and to follow its practices, but to do his Father's will, to seek and save the lost. With this purpose in mind, the Christian may stand uncontaminated by his surroundings. Whatever his position in life, exalted or humble, he will manifest the power of true religion in the faithful performance of duty, reflecting the exalted purpose of his life on earth. Doesn't that make you feel special? We are special, but not by the world's definition. Not by freedom from difficulties, but in the midst of it, Christian behavior is developed. Rejection and opposition leads the follower of Christ to greater diligence and more earnest prayer to the mighty helper. Severe trial endured by the grace of God develops patience, alertness, courage, and a deep and abiding trust in God. The Christian faith enables its followers to suffer and be strong, to submit and thus to conquer, to be killed all day long and yet to live, to bear the cross and thus to win the crown of glory. This is the hope that we live by, to be victorious in Christ. This is why we live and breathe, not to just come and soon pass away without a trace. Let's look at a more enlightened perspective on our development. The importance of character. A character according to the divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take with us, not any of those other traits that are so popular and coveted. Those who follow the instructions of Christ will take every divine trait with them to the heavenly mansions. And in heaven we are continually to improve. How important, then, is the development of our character here on earth? Mental ability and genius are not character. A good reputation is not character. True character is a quality of the soul and will be seen in our behavior. A good character is an asset more valuable than gold or silver. It is unaffected by stock market panics or failures. And in that day when earthly possessions are swept away, it will bring rich returns. Integrity, firmness, and perseverance are qualities that we all should earnestly seek to cultivate, for they clothe the possessor with a power which is irresistible, a power which makes him strong to do good, strong to resist evil, strong to withstand adversity. Strength of character consists of two things: the power of the will and the power of self-control. Many people think that strong, uncontrolled emotions show strength of character, but the truth is that he who is mastered by his passions is a weak man. The real greatness and nobility of man is measured by his ability to subdue his feelings, not by the power of his feelings to control him. The strongest man is he who, even though abused, will control his feelings for revenge and forgive his enemies. Character is more necessary than outward appearance. If we felt that it is as important to have a beautiful character and a friendly and pleasant disposition as it is to be fashionable and to look the part, we would see many more people prepared to make positive contributions to society. Character development is the work of a lifetime, and its effects reach into eternity. If everyone would realize that each of us is deciding our destiny for eternal life or loss, what a difference would we see? How differently would we spend our time, and how differently people would appear in the world? We see so much tragedy, so many perversions of character and perversions of the truth, so many unreasonable things happening in the world. As George Washington Carver said, "Where there is no vision, there is no hope." If we do not understand that God has better plans for this world and high expectations for each of us, it's no wonder what we see in the world today. Development and growth. A sprouting seed represents the beginning of spiritual life, and the development of the plant represents the development of character. Without growth, there is no life. The plant will die. As a plant grows silently and imperceptibly, so does the character. At every stage of development, our life may be perfect, yet, as God's purpose for us is being fulfilled, there will be ongoing improvement. The The harvest of life is character, and this determines destiny for this life and the life to come. The harvest reveals the kind of seed that was sown. Every seed yields fruit after its kind. So it is with the traits of character we cherish: selfishness, self-love, self-esteem, self-indulgence reproduce themselves. And at the end there is wretchedness and ruin. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Love, sympathy, and kindness yield the fruits of blessing, a harvest that will last forever. The greatest evidence of Christianity: if Christian mothers raise their children with integrity of character, with unchanging principles and sound morals, they will perform the most important of all missionary work. Their children, thoroughly educated to make their places in society, are the greatest evidence of Christianity that can be shown to the world. The influence of one child properly trained. No higher work was ever committed to mortals than the shaping of character. Children are not only to be educated, but trained as well. And who can tell the future of a growing child? Let the greatest care be dedicated to the nurturing of your children. One child, properly disciplined in the principles of truth, who has the love and fear of God woven through his character, will possess a power for good in the world that cannot be estimated. So how is character formed? It's attained by persevering effort, and how we know that it doesn't come by chance. A good character is not lost by one outburst of temper, by taking only one step in the wrong direction. It is the repetition of wrong that causes it to become habit and to mold the character for good or evil. A right character can be formed only by persevering, untiring effort, by improving every talent and ability for the glory of God. So let's not look at our mistakes. Instead of doing this, many allow themselves to drift wherever they feel like or where the circumstances happen to carry them, and they simply do not realize that God has high expectations of them. Our first duty to God and our fellow beings is to develop ourselves. Every noble faculty which our Creator has endowed us with should be cultivated to the highest degree of perfection, that we may be able to do the greatest amount of good that we can. In order to purify and refine our characters, we need the grace that Christ has given us to face and correct our deficiencies and to improve the talents that we have been given. To a great extent, everyone is the architect of his own character. Every day the structure approaches completion. The Word of God warns us to build carefully to make sure that our foundation is anchored to the eternal rock. The time is coming when the quality of our work will be revealed. So now is the time for us to develop the powers that God has given us to form characters for usefulness here and for the higher life to come. Faith in Christ as a personal Savior will give strength and substance to the character. Those who have genuine faith in Christ will be sober-minded, remembering that God's eye is upon them, that the judge of all men is weighing their moral worth, and that heavenly beings are watching and helping how their character is developing. Every act of life, no matter how small it seems, whether anybody notices it or not, has an effect on the formation of character. It does matter, everything that we do right for the Lord. A good character is more precious than worldly possessions, and the work of forming it is the noblest thing that man can be involved in. You might not make much money at it, but that's okay. The Lord will give you what you need. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye may receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Therefore, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Characters that are molded by circumstance are changeable and are at odds with themselves. They have no real goal or purpose in life. They have no elevating influence upon others. They're purposeless and powerless. Now, you probably recognize these words from the spirit of prophecy. She tells it like it is, things that I might feel imperfect myself and not capable of putting forth. But in everything that she says, there's hope. There's a way of enabling us, and that's through Christ. We are perfected by following God's pattern. God expects us to build characters according to the pattern set before us. We are to lay brick by brick, adding grace to grace, finding our weak points and correcting them in accordance with the directions given. When a crack is seen in the walls of a mansion, we know that something about the building is wrong. In our character building, cracks are often seen, and unless the defects are fixed, the house will fall when confronted by trials. But God gives us strength, the ability to think, and opportunities to improve so that we may build characters on which he can place his stamp of approval. He desires each child of his to build a noble character by doing pure and noble deeds, so in the end he may be a symmetrical structure, beautiful to behold, honored by man and God. In our character building, we must build on Christ. He is the sure foundation, a foundation which does not move. The storm of temptation and trial cannot move the building which is anchored to this eternal rock. He who would grow into a beautiful building for the Lord must cultivate every power of his being. It is only by the right use of the talents that character can develop harmoniously. Thus we bring to the foundation what the word refers to as gold, silver, and precious stones, material that will stand the test of God's purifying fires. In our character building, Christ is our sure example. Temptation must be resisted. The life of Daniel is an inspired illustration of what a sanctified character looks like. We see that following God's requirements helps body and mind, and none of us wants to see our abilities decline, do we? Daniel's parents trained him in strict temperance. They taught him that he must conform to nature's laws in everything. His eating and drinking had a direct influence upon his physical, mental, and moral nature. He was accountable to God for his capabilities, for they are a gift from God. With this in mind, the law of God was exalted and reverenced in his heart. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. During the early years of his captivity, Daniel experienced an ordeal which exposed him to courtly grandeur, and with hypocrisy and paganism, he saw the other side of life, which is fortunately not our experience, and yet he lived uncorrupted by the atmosphere of evil which surrounded him. In their formative years, Daniel and his companions enjoyed the benefits of godly training and education, but their home training was just a preparation, and the time came when they must act for themselves, and they decided to be true to what they had learned when young. The fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, was the foundation of their greatness. His spirit strengthened every true purpose, every noble resolution. When does God allow us to turn around? At any time, any circumstance. Aim high. If we would stand like Daniel, we must make every effort. The Lord does not want us to stay at the beginning. He wants us to reach the top of the ladder so we can step into the kingdom of God. If we properly appreciate the importance of character building, we will see the need of doing our work so it will stand up to God's inspection. The humblest and weakest, by persevering effort in resisting temptation and seeking wisdom from above, may reach heights that seem impossible. God knows our hearts. How much do we have to reach out? Do we have to have our act totally together? Live a pure, perfect life? No. All he needs is one tiny indication that we're headed his direction, that we need help, and we acknowledge that, and he takes it from there. This does not happen without a determination to be faithful in the little things of life. It requires constantly being careful to not pick up bad habits. But God knows our hearts. If we've been going the wrong way for a long time, everything about our nature's turned the wrong way. But he knows if we start to make a deviation from continuing the wrong way. No matter the age, moral strength can be developed, for Jesus came into the world that he might be our example and give us divine help, which is what we desperately need. Those who are defective in character and behavior need to listen to counsel and correction. This world is God's workshop, and every stone that can be used in the heavenly temple must be shaped and polished until it is tested and found to be trustworthy, a precious stone suitable to fill its position in the Lord's building. But if we don't want to be trained and disciplined, we shall be like stones that are hard to work with, which are eventually cast aside as useless. But that's not our focus today. It may be that your character needs a lot of work on it, that you're still a rough and misshapen stone, which must be squared and polished before you can fill a place in God's temple. And you should not be surprised if God needs to cut away the sharp corners of your character, not once, not twice, but many times, so that you are a new creature and unrecognized from the original to fill the place he has for you. None of us can accomplish this alone. Only God can do it. You may be sure that he will not be harder on you than necessary. Every correction is done in love for your eternal happiness and welfare. He knows your infirmities and works with you to restore, not to destroy. Character development is the work of a lifetime, and God is not done with any of us yet. Thank you, Father, for not giving up on us. The ending. We have never been neglected by God, never overlooked, never uncared for. We may be at peace knowing that God is the author of our lives. We are in his hands. He has known us from before we were born and intervenes in all our days. He always seeks to bring about what is best for us and tries to direct us in his paths. In more ways than we can imagine, he protects us from ourselves. No matter what hand we are dealt in life, there is a purpose in it, and opportunities for growth and victory that will at last be open to us, and we will be reassured of his forever love and wisdom for us. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you for life and for a knowledge of yourself. Be with us this day and empowering us to do your will always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.